Luke chapter 2 from verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now, when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marvelled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told them. Amen. Let's pray once again. Heavenly Father, we do not weary of the details of the living and dying of Jesus Christ. Lord, it rejoices our needy hearts to think always of who he is and why he came, and how he lived, how he served, what he did, how he died, how he rose again, where he now is. Christ delights us, or should delight us. Christ overwhelms us and should overwhelm us. Christ draws us to himself. To whom else could or should we go? So, O Lord, we pray, teach us again this evening this wonder of redeeming love that we see in the coming of Christ for his people, for we ask it in his name. Amen. When was the last time carol singers came to your house? They don't very often anymore, do they? I think it's one of the reasons why people enjoy coming to sing the way they do. We were told last year when we went out singing and handing out tracts that most of the people couldn't hear us because in Maidenbower it's all triple glazing and all the windows and doors are sealed tightly shut. The last time I remember carol singers coming to our house, it was a bit of a disaster. Now, I may not be the most responsive when someone comes to the door, but I remember this group of children came, or teenagers came, and they started off, "We wish you a Merry Christmas." Pretty straightforward. "We wish you a Merry Christmas." What comes next? "We wish you a Merry Christmas." "We wish you a Merry Christmas." Oh, and a Happy New Year. Was it? And a Happy New Year. Good. Okay, so someone knows the next line. Well, they weren't sure. They held out their hand. They wanted money. Nope, not giving you any money. Not for one verse. What else you got? "Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king." Is that it? Is that all you got? I honestly wonder, when we invite people in to sing with us or to hear us, and they think they know some of these hymns and these songs, these carols, these songs of joy, and they probably open those sheets and they go, "What, six verses? Really?" Because so often we just know the first one or two lines. And we like the old "We wish you a Merry Christmas" because there's only two to remember, at least for the first verse. Short on words. And very often shallow in sense. Do you notice how sometimes when you hear those hymns being played on the radio or even sung in a lot of churches, that a lot of the verses are left out? Things that perhaps are very familiar to you are not in the versions that are being sung more widely. And if you look at what's being left out, they are things that typically this world finds unpalatable, unpleasant, not very sweet to the taste. So, when we get to Hark the Herald Angels Sing, Glory to the Newborn King, what do we even mean when we sing about peace on earth and mercy mild? God and sinners reconciled. Echoes of that angelic chorus that was sung when the shepherds were living out in the fields keeping watch over their flock by night. We don't often hear and grasp that kind of language. Even when we sing it, I wonder how many of us really mean it. Do we understand what we are speaking about? And in a world that is so full of danger and distress, so full of trouble and turmoil, what is this peace that everybody seems to get excited about at Christmas? Because for a lot of us, it is not a very peaceful world. We actually don't know what's coming next. We don't know what our government will do. We don't know what the economic state of the nation more generally will be like. We don't know what our own financial condition may involve. Across the world, there are wars and there are rumours of wars. For some of us, there is not even peace in our own home, sometimes between family members, sometimes in terms of distresses and uncertainties. So what are we doing when we get together at the end of December and sing peace on earth? Is it all a sham? Is this what Karl Marx called the opiate of the people? Just a kind of religious drug to get us over the doom and the gloom of the dark months? Something that makes us hope that maybe things aren't quite as bad as they actually are? Is God making fun of you when he calls you to sing glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill toward men? Is that a kind of angelic joke? Is that a kind of heavenly satire? Who has peace? Do you? Can you? With whom? Why does it matter? Do you even want it? If you do, what kind of peace are you looking for? Where are you looking for it? From whom do you hope it will come? To try and answer those kinds of questions, we're going to talk about who is speaking these things, to whom they speak them, and what they are actually saying. An angel appeared to the shepherds over the fields outside Bethlehem, and he testified something to them. He said, "Don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And at that moment, as the angel announced that reality, suddenly there was with that angel a multitude of the heavenly armies praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Now, angels appearing in this way, this is relatively rare in Scripture. The Bible is not littered with stories of angels interacting with men. It's something that is typically distinctive. It happens at significant moments. And the history of the incarnation of Jesus Christ is rich with these angelic interactions. It clusters around the coming of Jesus of Nazareth. When an angelic host is chanting the praises of God, that means that we are dealing with something that is significant. First, there is the one, and he announces good news of great joy. And then there are the many, And they are praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. One declares good news, and all the angelic hosts delight in what has been declared and bring the praises of God on that account. Now these are the servants of God Most High. These are the angel armies. Now when we think of choirs perhaps we think of prepubescent boys dressed in their ruffs and things and singing in their falsettos or sopranos, those beautiful soaring notes, and they are beautiful. But this is a military choir. This is countless of the heavenly host. These are the angel armies, and they are speaking forth the glories of their God and their King. This is a triumph song from the heavenly hosts. I don't know if you knew that when you sing that well-known carol, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, you're not singing what Charles Wesley actually wrote. Originally, 10 verses, 4 lines each. George Whitefield didn't like them, so he was the first one who adapted them, and then they've been changed all down through the centuries. Do you know how Wesley actually began his first verse? Hark how all the welkin rings, glory to the King of Kings. Anybody know what a welkin is? Sounds like something you eat, doesn't it? That you've prized off the bottom of a rock or something. The welkin is the Ark of Heaven. It's the sort of the rim of the sky. Wesley had that sense of the angelic hosts making the heavens ring with the roar of their praise of God. This is not a little gang of choristers singing in their sweet high-pitched tones. These are the hosts of heaven speaking forth the glories of a saving God. What excites heaven? God at work in salvation. What stirs up the armies of the Lord of hosts to praise his name? The outworking of his saving purposes. You remember what Peter says about these things. We said this morning that when Jeremiah was speaking of the coming of that man who would approach God, there were things that he would not in himself fully have understood. Of this salvation, 1 Peter 1 and verse 10, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them when he was indicating, when he testified beforehand, the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. Isn't that just what Jeremiah was speaking of? To them it was revealed that, not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. And the angels are now seeing something of the promises of God unfurling before them. They're seeing now this plan that is being worked out. And they themselves are mighty and glorious. One of them made this gang of shepherds so fearful that he had to calm them down before he could even tell them the good news that he brought. And now there's a host of them. Now the heavens are full of them and they're making the welkin ring. The sky is shaking as they thunder forth the praises of one who is mighty to save. Now when the armies of heaven are shouting about glorious salvation, when they are singing might, when they are singing mercy, when they are singing the excellencies of God, you and I ought to sit up and take notice as they testify of the infinite glory of one who is mighty to save. When heaven sings like this, you should open your ears, open your heart, and pay close attention. The angels are speaking. The hosts of God, the servants of the Most High, prompted and primed by the revelation of God's saving goodness. To whom are they speaking? They are speaking to the shepherds who are living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. These are men who are going to receive the news and who are going to tell the news that the angels bring. They are people like us. They're not special in any particular sense. They're privileged to hear these particular things. In James chapter 2 and verse 5, it's lovely phrasing. Listen, my beloved brothers, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? The angels didn't come to the kings and to the nobles, to the princes and the great ones. They came to the shepherds, to working men who were out in the fields doing a difficult, dirty and dangerous job. They came to sinners. Not I bring to you good news for other people, but I bring to you good news which is for all people. For you also. There is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour who is Christ the Lord, and this will be the sign to you. These men needed to hear the good news that the angel brought them. They needed to understand that a Saviour had now come. As Israelites, we presume they at least had some sense of a Messiah who had been long promised, a Christ who was going to come. This one who, however shadowy it may have been, was going to come from God in order to overcome all their enemies and bring them back to God himself. He was the one who was going to bring peace. He was the one who was going to establish the reign of God upon earth. He was the one who was going to set up an unshakable kingdom. And they were going about their ordinary business when news from heaven broke in. Don't you wish that would happen more in these days? People take a moment out of their routines to come and sing God's praises and to hear God's truth. Why should the truth of heaven not break into their souls? Someone stops on the path because they hear people singing about God and his so great salvation, reading the scriptures and explaining that Jesus is the Saviour who is Emmanuel, God with us, and that the wise men came to bow their knee to him who was the King of Kings. When they saw the infant there on his mother's lap, they didn't say, oh, he's just a child. They said, this is the King of the Jews, and he's not just worthy of our respect, he's worthy of our adoration. We will bow before him and we will honour him, for he is God to save us. And why not you this evening? As you go about at least what is for most of us the relatively ordinary business of being in church on the Lord's Day evening, why should you not now receive this good news from the angel? What God has spoken, coming to you afresh in 2021, that you should hear and believe. That's what these shepherds do. They receive the news. They take it to heart, and they want others to learn it also. Notice how they receive it with faith. They don't say, verse 15, let's now go to Bethlehem and see if this thing has come to pass. The angels have spoken. Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass. We're going to go and find the sign that God has given us. We don't doubt that it's there. We just need to find it. So they go with joy, and they find Mary and Joseph. They rush down to Bethlehem. They just need to find this child who is lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And then verse 20, they went back to their work, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. First they went to look. And then they went to tell. They wanted others also to know that they had found in Bethlehem, there in that manger, a Saviour who had been born in the city of David, who was Christ the Lord. Now, my friends, one of the sure signs that you have found Christ is that you want to tell other people about Christ. It's just a natural indication that we are God's people. If you know him, you want others to know him too. If you can imagine yourself knowing him and wanting to keep it hidden away, then you do not truly know him. Now, others may object to you telling. Why do you have to sing about him? Why do you have to talk about him? Or why can't we just sing a couple of those first verses? Why do we have to do those Bible readings? Why do you need to tell us that this is the Jesus who saves us from our sins? Can't we just brush over that kind of language? No, we can't. That's the essence of the good news. You're a sinner. That's why Jesus came. You need salvation. That's why you have a Saviour. You cannot save yourself. That's why God has come to save you. These shepherds were ordinary people like us, going about their ordinary business as we do. And yet God, in his mercy, spoke into their lives, into their hearts, and told them that a Saviour had come who would save them from their sins. And they went to find him. And they rejoiced when they saw him, and they left to tell others about him. Is that what you have done? What is it then that filled these angels with such delight and these shepherds with such joy? What was this heavenly testimony that had such an effect? What were the angels saying, and what were the shepherds hearing? I bring you good news of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. That's what makes the angelic host rejoice. And that's what makes the shepherds so thankful. The good news of a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. And that's the only place in the whole New Testament where you find those names and titles crowded together like that. Yes, he is often Saviour. Yes, he is Christ. Yes, he is Lord. Often Lord and Christ. But the Saviour who is Christ the Lord. It's as if the angel is loading together all these realities and holding before you the glories of this baby who has been born. This is that long promised Messiah. This is the one of whom was God spoke there when Adam and Eve had sinned in the Garden of Eden. This is the one who was promised to David. This is the one of whom Jeremiah and Isaiah and the other prophets spoke. Now he has arrived. This is the good news, that the promise is being fulfilled. That God's message is now coming to fruition. That God's saving purposes are coming to light. That Prince of Peace has arrived. God is now with us. This very day, there's a thrill of excitement. It's come. It's here. It's now. It is among you. This day is born to you in the city of David, a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. And what do the angelic hosts say? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Because Christ has come, because a Saviour who is Christ the Lord has been born this day, then glory to God in the highest. The angel armies bring their glory to the God of all grace. For now his love has been revealed in a way that it has never been revealed before. It is not that God now has more love, but that you now see more of the love of God. For God has come into the world. The Son has come in order to lay down his life. Now you see power. as God takes upon himself our humanity in order that he might suffer and die in the place of his people and rise in triumph over the grave. Now you see wisdom. For God, who is able to bear the weight, and man, who must stand for men, he is in one person, the God-man, Jesus Christ, and all the divine thought is now coming to light in the person of the Redeemer. Now you will see divine justice shine as it has never shone before, for the stroke of God's righteous wrath will fall upon sin. And now you will see mercy as it has never shone so brightly. For as the stroke of justice falls, it falls not upon those who deserve it, but upon the one who has taken to himself the sins of his people in order that they might go free. Now you will see the goodness of God as it shines forth, the glory of the Lord in the face of Jesus Christ. It is God who is at the center of this song. It is the majesty on high who is now acting. And this is the highest display of his glory. Brothers and sisters, you will never see more of God than you do in the person of Jesus Christ. When you look at him, when you see more of him, when you understand more of him, that ought to lift your soul in glory to God. After all, it delights the sinless angels. It calls forth their highest praises. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace. Now God is glorified. And here on earth, there is peace. Just peace? No, this is the peace that God secures between himself and sinful men. This is God and sinners reconciled. This is the offended God acting of his own sovereign will and pleasure to take away the offence that demands judgment upon lost mankind. This is God in love providing himself the propitiation, the sacrifice by which his wrath is turned away from those who deserve it. Now the Redeemer has come, the ransomer of our souls. Now at last, the promised peace is come. God now has provided a way in which we can draw near to him. What Jeremiah had promised, the prince who would approach, and God would call near, who is pledging his own life for the sake of his people, so that God might be our God and we might be his people. Now he is on the earth. Only when you have peace with God can you have any other real peace. We're often told today to forgive ourselves. But I haven't sinned against myself. I've sinned against God. It's not first of all me I've got to deal with. It's God I have to deal with. And when I come to God by Christ Jesus, when my sins are washed in his blood, who stood in my place and died on account of my iniquities, then there is peace in my conscience. Then there is peace in my heart. Then I know that I stand accepted in the Beloved. My friend, if you want peace in your soul, you need peace with God. And if you want peace with others, the only true foundation is through peace with God. As he not only takes away your sins, but binds you into fellowship with himself and all others who are in him. Outside of Christ, it is all selfishness and antagonism. You will never have peace until you have the mind which was in Christ Jesus. It's that time of year when everybody sings of peace and often ends up at each other's throats. You know the stories, perhaps you've had the experience. People who like the idea of getting together, that Victorian Christmas. But once they're stuck in the same room as other people, they really can't bear them. What gives peace on earth? It is God's peace established on earth. And only then do we have peace in our own hearts. And only then is a foundation laid for true peace among ourselves. You will not know peace without Jesus Christ. It cannot be. Your conscience will be in turmoil. Your guilt will assault you. You will not be able to pillow your head at night if you have any sense of your sin until you find and rest in Jesus Christ. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. Goodwill toward men. Whose? God's. God's good will toward men. That's what the angels are singing about. God's gracious favour. God's undeserved mercy demonstrated now towards sinners like me and you. God delights to bless. God is ready to do good. God designs to save. How do we know? Because he sent into this world his only begotten Son, who was born of a virgin in Bethlehem. And in that very day it was announced to the shepherds that in the city of David this Saviour had come, who was Christ the Lord. God gave his Son to die in the place of sinners. Can you imagine a greater love than that? Can you calculate a more precious gift than that? What more could the God of heaven do to express and communicate his intent to do you good than to give the Son of his love to stand in your place and to die for your sins, that you might have peace with God? God has come to man, not in war, but to establish peace. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Brothers and sisters, let's not reduce this to a scene from the end of a Charles Dickens melodrama. Let's not reduce this to a mere plea for peace on the political or economic or military scene. This is the peace that comes through salvation by God's Son, the Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. If you've got nothing more than Ebenezer Scrooge, Bob Cratchit and Tiny Tim, God have mercy upon your soul. This is heaven's declaration of salvation from sin, from death, from hell, for all those who receive this Jesus as the one whom God has provided. Hark, the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild. God and sinners reconciled. That's your good news. That is the best news. It is the marvel of heaven. It brings joy upon earth. I think there are some people today, and sadly, I think there are a number of Christians who seem suspicious of happiness, who just don't trust peace, who seem to imagine that it is a good thing to be in a perpetual state of unease and uncertainty. Do you think that was the intent of the shepherds when they spoke? Do you think that was the state of the shepherds when they left? Oh, not sure if we can trust this. Not sure if we should take this. Not sure if we should be happy because of this. No, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. The shepherds said, let's run down to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that God has done. And they went, and they found it just as the angels had spoken. And they went on their way full of joy, for they had seen that salvation that had been declared. My friends, let's not be suspicious of God's peace. Let's not be confused as if there's something wrong or unholy in spiritual happiness. God has saved his people. Christ has come to take away your sins and to reconcile God to you. Receive him with the shepherds and sing his praise with the angels. Amen.